Scripture today comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders, came forward. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded with him, "My daughter is about to die. Please come and place your hands on her so that she can be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. A swarm of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him. And a woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a lot under the care of many doctors and had spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his clothes. She was thinking, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And her bleeding stopped immediately, and she sensed that in her body, and her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus recognized the power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd to say, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you? And yet you asked, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward, knowing what had happened to her. She fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. He responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease." While Jesus was still speaking with her, messengers came from the synagogue leader's house, saying to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now this story does go a little further, and we'll get there in a few minutes. We'll stop there for now because more often than not, we have a way of reading the whole story and looking at in hindsight at things and looking at healings and looking at resurrection and looking back on things and saying everything always works out so beautifully. And then we look at our lives when we're in the middle of disaster, when we're in the middle of tragedy, when we're in those places where we don't know if anything's going to work out. And we think, why can't my life be like theirs? Well, guess what? There are moments in their stories where they weren't sure it was going to work out either. And so that's why we pause here today with Jairus in this moment when he just gets the word that his daughter had died, that Jesus came too late. Because that's a place that many of us can relate to in our lives. He doesn't know what's going to happen, and neither do we. For Jesus and the disciples, this is coming at a lousy time. It says in verse 21, right before where we started reading, that Jesus crossed the lake again, and on the other side, large crowds started to gather at the shore, and that's when Jairus came up. We remember last week that Jesus and his disciples had gone across the sea. The storm had come up in the middle of the night that almost shook their boat, and they had to wake Jesus up to save them in the middle of the night. They calmed the storm. They went through that whole miracle. And then he goes across, and they find this one demoniac, this Gentile who's living in the tombs. They cast the demons out, and then they're sent away. They turn around after that crazy mission for one random person and come all the way back. So they've had a rough couple of days out at sea, trying to make sense of all this. They're getting back, and you can just imagine, okay, it's time for a day off. We need a break. We want to get home. We want to have a good meal. We want to get a shower. Just give us a break. And as they come off the boats, just getting back from this ordeal we talked about last week, they find the crowds pressing in. They just can't catch a break. And Jairus, one of these synagogue leaders, comes immediately with his need, with his prayer. "Jesus, my daughter is dying. Come, help." And of course, Jairus is a well-respected member of the community. He's even named here, which many people in the Gospels are not, including the woman we'll see in just a minute. But Jairus is named as a synagogue leader, as a well-recognized person in the community. And of course, everybody would think, yeah, this man is important. We need to help his family. And so, against everything they might be feeling inside, Jesus and his disciples say, okay, we're gone. We're coming. We might need rest, we might be exhausted, but we will come. So they start pushing their way through the crowds. to help Jairus' daughter. They are on a mission of mercy for life and death. And along the way, we run into a distraction. This woman, this unnamed woman, with this issue of blood that she has had for 12 years, that she has been dealing with this pain and suffering and health issue for as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive. And she knows she has no business being there. She knows in her condition she can't be out in the crowds among the people. She knows she is ritually unclean because of her bleeding. And if anybody else in the crowd found out that she was out there bumping into them, and that they were being touched by her, and they were being made unclean as well, this would not go well. She wants to be anonymous. She wants to stay hidden. She doesn't want to be pointed out. She doesn't want anybody to know that she's there. She's just so desperate to get to Jesus that she's willing to take the risk. Whatever might happen to her if people found out that she was out of place. So she pushes through. We get this image of her kind of crawling up between the crowds. Nobody's noticing because everybody's getting bumped from every side. And she knows that if she just touches the hem of Jesus' cloak, it'll be enough. She believes in his power that much. And she does. And she's healed. Now, we could end the story right there, and we could say, you know what? Jesus can just keep walking on. She was just another one among many who bumped into her or who touched her. He can go on to Jairus' house. You know, the daughter, everything's fine. Nobody has to know. Guess what? She's healed. She goes on her way. Nobody has to know a thing. And that's probably the way she wanted it. But Jesus knew. He sensed the faith in this woman. He sensed the power of healing come out from him. And he knew. And he stops. And he allows himself to be distracted. In the midst of this urgent mission to save this little girl's life, he stops in the crowd and asks what people around him think must be the most absurd question in the world. Who touched me? Brother Jesus. Who isn't touching you? Who isn't touching all of us? Come on, we got to go. We got to push through this crowd. We got to get to Jairus' house. There's a little girl's life at stake. But Jesus stops. And he's not willing to keep going until he finds out. Not because he's angry, although the woman doesn't know exactly how he's feeling or how he'll react. She just knows that she's been healed. And when Jesus stops, she eventually comes forward. And then we have this beautiful encounter. It says the woman comes forward full of fear and trembling. How's he going to respond? How's he going to react? What are the crowds going to do when they find out I've been out here touching all of them, probably bumping into them when I'm unclean? She fell down in front of Jesus, essentially begging for mercy. Told him the whole truth. And he reaches down and he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. It's a beautiful moment where Jesus is never in too much of a hurry. No matter how insignificant we may feel, no matter how much we think, you know, God's got way better things to worry about than my little bit of prayer request. Because, you know, she could have gone on about her life healed. Nobody would have known the difference. The healing would have been accomplished still. But there was something else. Jesus knew that what she needed was not just a physical touch, but a relational touch. That what she needed was to know that she is loved. That she is more than this disease and this suffering that she has dealt with for the past 12 years. That she's not going to be condemned. That she didn't have to do this in secret and hiding, but that she is accepted for who she is. And so he calls her daughter. My beloved daughter. Go in peace. And so there's an inner healing beyond just the physical healing that takes place here. Jesus was willing to allow the distraction to happen. And that's all fine and good until we get to the next verse where the messengers come and say to Jairus, "Sorry, your daughter's already dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore." Now all of a sudden, that stop made the difference between life and death. All of a sudden, that distraction where Jesus allowed himself to be pulled aside into this little thing over here in the crowd, when he didn't have to, all of a sudden that cost the little girl her life. And we wonder, was it worth it? Does Jairus feel like it was worth it? Knowing he's just lost his daughter. And in all honesty, most of us would probably say no. Every good leadership book out there, in business or in church leadership, will tell you to stay focused, to stay the course, to have your goals and your priorities set, and anything that is just sort of peripheral, don't let it come in. There are some business leaders, actually, who will go as far as saying, you know what, if you really want to be productive, you better not even check your email or your text or your phone more than twice a day. Because in truth, practically speaking, every time you respond to something like that immediately, you're distracted. You're off kilter. You might be working on something, you might be zoned, focused on something, whatever. It doesn't matter whether it's in church or ministry or whether it's in the business world or anywhere. If you're focused on something, if you're in the zone and you pick up the phone and you immediately respond, then guess what? Your mind's gone. And how long does it take you to get back into whatever it was you're doing and how much time is lost? When you could have just kept pushing through, get it done, and then go and respond to whatever that need is. Everybody will say that's the way to be productive. That's the way to be efficient. That's the way we're taught to live. That's the way Jairus expected Jesus to be. This is an emergency. Get that dealt with. Then go back and figure out whatever's going on in the crowd. This is not a good distraction from Jairus' perspective. I remember in Kentucky one time, we were driving back late at night from a night class. We were passing a church about an hour away from the seminary, and about halfway between the seminary and the church, there was an Applebee's that we often stopped off at because they were open late at night. And so we were there eating dinner about 11 o'clock at night after a evening class. And when you get to Applebee's at about 11 o'clock at night, it's usually hit or miss in terms of the staff and, you know, I mean, they're all kind of done for the night. And so service was pretty bad, it usually was. And, you know, a lot of people complaining and not getting drinks fast enough, not getting checks back. You know, the typical stuff you get in a busy restaurant. Everybody's just mad and angry at everybody. And our waitress came over at one point, and it just... We looked at her and you could see on her face this exasperation, this sense of being overwhelmed. Like she looked like she could just collapse right there on the floor. And she was trying her hardest. She was trying to pretend. She was apologizing all over herself for everything, for taking too long. We're just like, whatever, like, yeah, you gotta go, okay. And finally, at one point we asked her, "You can sit down for a minute? Like, you look like your grandpa's out." And so she sat down next to us in the booth, and almost in tears, just started just apologizing. And she said that for the last 3 weeks, she had been working double shifts every day. She's a single mom of a toddler at home. And it's 11 o'clock. She gets off at midnight. She was just desperate to get home, to be able to see her sleeping daughter just one moment before she had to turn right around and come back the next morning for her shift, and her daughter was back and get there. That's her life, day in and day out. The manager was getting all mad. He saw her over there sitting down and thinking, oh, you know, she's not doing her job again. Of course, he comes over, and we respond, no, she's fine. She was waiting on us, and she was on her job, and, you know, trying to clear all that over. I obviously gave her a good tip. But after she got up from that moment, was a jump in her step that wasn't there before. Because you could tell her mind has shifted from all the stuff around her and all the complaints and the people that were just angry at her to now being focused on, I just want to go home and see my daughter. And that gave her the energy she needed. It gave her the push to remember why she was doing this. Why she was working all these double shifts just to be able to support her child, the one that she loved the most. In that moment, there was a distraction that probably pissed everybody else off in the restaurant, including her manager. It was what she needed just to get through another hour. And we all deal with situations like that, where we relate to Jairus, where whatever it is that we have going is the most important thing at that moment. Anybody ever been in a hospital room when that little thing starts beeping? I know I'm not the only one. Even if you weren't in the hospital, even if you were visiting somebody's room, you've heard that stupid thing go off. It's annoying. And we need it stopped now. Especially if it's in the middle of the night, right? And we know that the particular patient, it's not an emergency. We're probably on the way out. We're going to be checking out the next day. We're not really worried about anything. We're just trying to get some rest. We know that what happened is the patient probably just moved their arm wrong, pulled the little tube, and the beeping starts. We know it's not that big a deal. But what do? We hit that call button like crazy. We send our guests out into the hall to get the nurses to try to figure out, why aren't you in here yet? Why haven't you stopped this beeping? I wonder if after that situation and all the griping and complaining that goes on about the nurses, how many of us have sat over in the break room, where I have on many occasions, and listened to the nurses talk about those patients and those families who are all complaining because of this stupid little machine. And this one was giving a bath to somebody who they couldn't leave, somebody who could not do it for themselves. This one was over here in a room with a family member who was dying because they had just coded and she's having to respond to that. Another one was in the bathroom because she's at the end of a double shift and she hadn't been able to stop all day to be able to go. And they're in the break room and they're just overwhelmed and they're wondering, what in the world do they think we can do? They have no idea who's in the other rooms and what we have to do for all these people. But what we want is just like Jairus. We want whatever we need right now. And Jesus says, you know what? No. You can wait. Your daughter's dying. Sorry, Jairus. You're going to have to wait. Because I've got another daughter right here. And she needs to know how loved she is. That's not easy to hear when you're in Jairus' shoes. It becomes easier to hear because we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus goes on now to Jairus' house. We know that Jesus and his disciples go into the room. And he says to the family, the child isn't dead, she's only sleeping. And they laugh at him. You've lost your mind, Jesus. Of course she's dead. And he takes her by the hand and he says, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, get up. And suddenly she got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were shocked. And all is well. There's a happy ending. See, that's where we get into trouble reading Scripture. Because we read through the story, we see that happy ending, and we say, yeah, it's always going to work out. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. And we don't even notice the distraction anymore. Because we're so caught up in that moment of resurrection. We think everything is great. And we go around people who are in that moment of suffering, and we say, don't worry, God's just going to work it all out. And we forget that those people were saying, God's just going to work it all out. They're not at the moment when they just saw their daughter raised to life. They're at the moment when they just heard their daughter has died. And Jesus wasn't there for his life. That's not what they need to hear in that moment. They don't need to hear, don't worry, in about six verses, Jesus is going to raise your daughter from the dead, all your problems are going to be solved. They don't care about six verses later.
care about right now.
Yes, we do too. And so what are those places in our lives that maybe we need to embrace these distractions? To stop and pause for those people who are in those moments. Maybe to stop and pause and wrestle with our own moments of crisis. Not just to jump ahead and say, oh, all's going to be fine, all's going to work out. But to really know in those moments that nothing is a distraction for God. That nothing is too small or insignificant for God. That nothing is out of God's way. That He's right there with us in that moment. You ever been a person on the road? Last story. Person on the road, you're driving, and you know, they want to cut you off. And they get up to the red light before you. And then they stop. They've been weaving in and out of traffic, but they get that red light. And you're going to go up to that red light, and you're going to make a right turn. And get stuck at the red light. It's just such satisfaction, doesn't it? Just wait. Drive by. But then there's the day that comes when you're the one that's in the rush. When you're anxious to get home from a long day, when you're taking somebody to the hospital, when you're heading to the hospice house because a loved one has just died, when there's something going on, and you just got to get there. You don't care, you're not paying attention to anybody around you, and you're the one that gets up there that red light, and you're so aggravated, you don't even realize you've got off. And that person drives by and waves. You're so angry. How many of those moments do we waste our lives sitting at those red lights, trying to get through, trying to push past, trying to get done, trying to get somewhere else, on to the next thing? When maybe we just need to pause. When maybe we just need to stop and look around us. And maybe the thing that is the distraction, maybe the thing that is slowing us down, that is keeping us from getting to that next urgent thing, might be somebody like this woman on the road. Might be an opportunity that God has for us to embrace the distraction and say, you know what? God is present in this moment, and He'll be present in that moment whenever it comes. But for now, I need to be present here. Because this is where God is. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be present in these moments. These moments that we never seem to have time for. These moments that are so frustrating because we've got so many more important things to do. And yet those are the moments where you keep stopping along the road. We keep saying, come on, Jesus, we've got to go. But we keep saying, no. Look in the eyes of my daughter. Look in the eyes of my son. Be here with them. Be here with you. And wherever we go from here, guess what? I'll be there too. Don't worry about that. But for now, let's just be here in this moment. Don't let the distraction be a barrier between you and God. But allow it to be an opportunity to experience the overwhelming grace of His presence in every moment. Give us Your peace that we may go forth from this place of a non-anxious spirit to slow down, to notice those around us that are reaching out for You, and not to try to push them to easy answers, but to truly be present with them as You are. That they might know that they want. In Jesus' precious name.